BYUSN. Question, is amateurism dead in college sports? Is more conference realignment around the corner? And how close is BYU men's basketball to signing another player? Hashtag Woj bomb. All that and more in What's Trending. Plus, Hans Olsen will join us to share his thoughts on BYU's portal additions. And what would BYU football need to do this season to shock him?
BYU steeplechasers Taylor Lovell and Wyatt Houghton join us in studio to recap qualifying for NCAA Nationals. And Top 5 Tuesday features our favorite Bill Walton moments from the 2019 Maui Invitational.
Welcome to BYU Sports Nation, presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere. It is Tuesday, May 28th. I am Spencer Linton. He is Bill Walton's BYU broadcasting insider, Jerem Jordan.
Now, in 2017, Bill came and called a BYU Utah game. He's called several BYU games over the years. That one was special for a couple of reasons. One, I was stage manager, and so I sat right next to Bill, and we chatted, and he was couldn't have been nicer. He was great. But also, he took a tour of BYU TV that day, and he came on in studio, and he had the big blue goggles on and taking pictures. Here's some of the photos for our TV audience. Keep Provo Awkward is his shirt, by the way. Look at it. Look at him on the old set with the goggles. Like, Bill Walton was fun. And he taught me about the humanities and culture of a place, not just the basketball game. I really enjoyed that. I'm very sad that he passed away. I put on my Bill Walton Blazers jersey that I have, which I will don later in the program. The only acceptable time for red, I suppose, if it's not BYU Hawaii Seasiders. But, I'm bummed that that Bill passed away, man.
Certainly, a legend in the game. And that was my immediate reaction when I got the text message from a friend. I said, I just feel sad because he brought such a unique perspective to college basketball. And in many ways, like as quirky as he was, it was his shtick. I looked forward to it. Like whatever game he was calling, if he was on the call, I would be more inclined to listen to him because I always wondered, well, what is he going to say next? Yeah. What ridiculousness is going to happen?
Yes.
Where will he have gone before the game and what video will they have captured of some ridiculous moment that he has eating bark off of a tree or
a lit candle on a cupcake? Yeah. He was just fun. He was just fun. And I know he wasn't everyone's cup of tea, but an amazing basketball player, like 3-time National Player of the Year. Yeah. You think like Jimmer and Danny winning the National Player of the Year. Think about it, 3 times at UCLA. Holy crap.
He was super approachable. He was always very kind to fans that wanted to take pictures with him, get his autograph.
He would say no gang signs when you took a picture. One time he emailed the BYU SID, prior to Tyson Jackson, Kyle Chilton. It was the entire email in the subject line. Like, just super quirky and fun.
This is what Bill does. I met him in Denver at the Mountain West Conference Tournament when he was watching his son Chris play for San Diego State.
Yeah.
He was just an observer. Yep. And he was super approachable. Yep. But, legend is gone. Cancer still sucks.
Yeah. Yes,
but,
it does.
What a fun, unique broadcaster and basketball legend Bill Walton was. Yep. That said, time to rise and shout. Let's get to What's Trending.
Trevenel pulled fire and score from three. Essener to the end zone. That's how you beat the press. Oh, what a pick.
What's Trending presented by BYU Food to Go, the MVP of your next event. So much to discuss.
Oh my gosh.
Things happening this morning.
This is one of the biggest deals in BYU history here.
Let's set the table a little bit.
This is huge, man.
BYU basketball assistant coach Chris Burgess joined our friends Dave McCann, Blaine Fowler, and Wise Guys last night, said the following, quote, we're super positive we can get the scholarship count to 3 or 2 in the next 72 hours. BYU has 5 available. So to get it 4 available to get it to 3 or 2, they got to make some moves. Well, this morning, Adrian Wojnarowski dropped another bomb about BYU basketball. This isn't official from BYU yet, so we can't discuss the particulars or the details, but we'll just show it to you instead. Shout out to our BYU radio friends. It definitely adds to the conversation. BYU is searching internationally for NBA draft lottery picks, Jerem. And according to Woj, this is in the works. So my question for you is, Why can't BYU take a page out of Gonzaga's book and BYU become the next Gonzaga?
Well, isn't Gonzaga taking a page out of BYU's book? They signed Krešimir Ćosić, because this is the next Krešimir Ćosić for BYU. We're going to talk around this. We cannot mention the player's name, but we'll describe him. This is a 6'9 player internationally, which, by the way, what did I say a couple weeks ago about BYU's? If they're going to have an NBA pipeline, how are they going to need to do it? They need to go overseas. This is an overseas guy.
Why can't BYU be like Gonzaga in that regard?
Shout out to the Royal Blue Collective for stepping up in this, which is great. And it levels the playing field, right? It's not about the fit with the school, per se, for certain guys. It's, can you get me to the NBA, and can I be paid enough in this era of NIL?
Yeah.
And congrats to BYU for being in this space. This is a guy who's going to come in and be a lottery pick next year, projected top 10 guy. If he were in the United States, he'd be a 10 to 15 McDonald's ranked and 10 McDonald's All-American. Perhaps the biggest signing in BYU history in
that.
It's not a guy who's not a member of the church and is foreign. Sean Bradley is the best signing you've ever had here at BYU. Like 7'6", LDS, in the state, like wanted to come to BYU, knew about BYU.
Number two overall pick in the NBA draft.
After a mission, no less. Turned down UCLA and Duke and everybody, right? This is huge. And Kevin Young was not just speaking to the universe for nothing when he said, I want to make this a place where I can develop NBA guys. BYU's going to bring in a guy who starts right away, who is Josh Giddey with the jumper, which is an incredible type of player. And if he really is a lottery pick the next year, BYU is going to be a top 25 team this preseason. This guy's going to start. And now we're talking about three ESPN top 100 guys, including a top 15 guy and then two guys in the 90s. This is the greatest recruiting class in men's basketball history. Kevin Young and this group and this staff and this administration have changed the game for not only BYU basketball, but all the BYU sports. What BYU is doing right now in men's hoops is paving the way for the new BYU in this new era, not only in the Big 12, but of what the NCAA looks like here, Spencer. This is one of the biggest moments in BYU sports history. It is big time to get a player of this ilk, and it is a shot across the bow, not only in the Big 12, but across the country, that BYU is serious about men's basketball and athletics.
Can we just all understand once again that Kevin Young is not a politician, he's not a performer, he's very much to his word. He is very straightforward. And so, to further your point, he does not speak with hyperbole and lavish language. He's just very straight to the point. So can we believe him now for what he says? Have we reached that point now collectively? Can we just believe him?
Collectively is the word to me. When you sign a guy of this ilk, you are serious. And it is
that he got Dallin Hall and Richie Saunders and Brody Kozlowski to come,
and Elijah Crawford.
And Elijah Crawford recently. And now he has maybe signed the highest rated prospect in BYU basketball history for the foreseeable future.
In the modern era, right? Sean would have been. Yeah. Devin Durant would have been way up there.
This is wild. This is
amazing.
This is wild.
Amazing.
What he has pulled off and what his non-complete staff, by the way, has pulled off.
They don't even have all the Scullies out or the assistant coaches. The house is still being constructed.
Yes. So how does this impact things?
I'm so pumped.
We cannot talk about the specific player, cannot say his name because it has not become official with BYU, and we won't say his name until it becomes official.
We have certain rules as a university-tied institution.
But we can show you the tweet, which we did, from Adrian Wojnarowski, that BYU is getting five-star players, essentially, internationally.
Hey, does your school get Woj bombs for when your coaches sign and when you sign players? Because BYU does.
How many Woj bombs are there going to be about BYU?
Dude, I am so stoked. Like, we just had a 4-day weekend, and I am feeling good already. Plus this. Oh my gosh, Spence, I am so excited. BYU will be a top 25 team walking.
Let me just throw this out there, okay? Let's just throw this out there.
Chuck it.
Dallin Hall is your starting point guard.
Yep.
Said five-star international player.
Yes. 6'9", dude that can handle the ball and is amazing in transition and has a jump shot. Are you kidding me?
Oh, my goodness.
By the way, BYU is going to have we anticipate. You wanted to get back in the draft? We're going to have a lottery pick in 25 now.
It's
That's
crazy.
The anticipation.
Yes, I want to be back
ESPN
in the draft.
ESPN projected top 10 in 25 draft. One and done. One and done. Enjoy him 1 year.
This is straight up belief in Kevin Young. This young man saying, yeah, I want to play for you because I want you to develop me the way that you have developed Devin Booker.
Yes.
And the guys you have worked with in Phoenix Suns.
It's that and NIL money.
And the 76ers.
That combination sure. is how you get a play like this.
BYU means business.
Yes.
People have wanted to know, like, okay, well, how committed are you to this? Do you have your answer yet? They're pretty committed.
Okay, pre-NIL, you had to want to have some affiliation with BYU and what it's about to some degree to be here, right? You had members of other faiths or no faith, whatever. You come to BYU, and it's a place that you're embraced, and you have a great time, and you get good academics, and you get into the Marriott School if that's what you want, and it's prestigious, and so on and so forth. In this era, it has to be, for basketball specifically, can you get me into the NBA, and will you pay me enough? Those are the two questions that athletes want. And if you're going to produce NBA guys and get guys that are projected to go to the NBA, those are the two questions you have to answer. Kevin Young and NIL, and BYU is in this space and competitive. Brigham Young said, one day the Saints will be cursed with riches. the church and the Saints used to be very poor, Spence. Very, very poor. Humble beginnings. We're in a comfortable space now in this economy in Utah County and Salt Lake and Utah, where it's grown a ton, where there are members of the church who have been blessed, who are contributing they're sacrificing and contributing to BYU and the programs. And this is helping BYU. And it's a great thing. It's a great thing.
It's a great way to get the message out to the universe, speaking of BYU athletics.
Yeah.
It is so visible. And it is global now. Global! In this recruiting game. More so than football, Jerem.
Yes. Very much. Basketball is
It's a global sport.
I would say it's, number two or three, right? Obviously soccer. And then you're having an argument with cricket, rugby. Basketball is right there. Tennis, golf, yeah. Basketball might be too.
Unbelievable stuff.
Football is very American, right? Yeah.
The other thing this will do is other high-level players will see this. Specifically international players.
Yes.
They will see this and
domestic.
Say, what's going on at BYU? What now? Why would this guy, this Russian star, go to BYU? Meme this, please.
What?
Now, why would he do that? It will open up doors and avenues. Well, if he did, then there's something good going on at BYU. I want to know about it.
Who else is going to
This
go
is
up
how
there?
Gonzaga succeeded at such a high level and have succeeded at such a high level for so long because they had that pipeline open. This is how you get Domantas Sabonis and Filip Petrushev. And like then Jalen
Suggs
shows up.
Chet Holmgren.
Okay? This is the start of something like that potentially.
You have to get people to the NBA and you have to make it a good fit. And again,
this is like a door opening to something like that.
Yes. And in this era, if you don't have the money, you're not going to get that guy. BYU hopefully still will get those kinds of players, but you have to be competitive financially in this day and age. You really do. Okay. That was us doing our best to talk around that without being able to say the player's name because we are BYU. As soon as BYU announces it, we'll say that. I hope it's today. It sure seems like it if Woj is tweeting.
Yes.
This Burge is tweeting reaction gifs. We hope it's today.
I'll say this in Russian. Я люблю BYU basketball.
You love?
I love basketball.
I love
Я говорю по-русски.
Nice. Okay, topic two. We'll bring Kyle Collinsworth on to translate
later. He can just rip it apart.
Yes, he can. Dig Weiss, former award-winning columnist for the New York Daily News, tweeted the following on May 25th. Speculation circulating about potential shifts in college sports conferences. There's discussion about Utah possibly moving to the ACC.
What?
Despite its recent move to the Big 12, with some suggesting the ACC might be a better fit due to its ESPN network agreement. Big 12 has
what?
And potential for increased TV value. However, skepticism exists regarding the stability and attractiveness of the ACC compared to the Big 12.
Yep.
What do you think of this idea?
Listen, if Utah wants to go to the ACC, best wishes. Straight up. Like, best wishes.
Bye-bye, Lil Sebastian.
What would they get from going to the ACC that they don't have in the Big 12. Is it actually more TV value with the ACC? Because the ACC doesn't feel stable at all.
It's stuck in a long-term deal.
And Florida State and Clemson reportedly are like looking for any avenue they can to get out.
They're suing the league.
What? Why would you do this? Also, like, Cal and Stanford, I'm sure, would be like, yes, Utah, please.
And
like,
SMU.
Like, please, another Western Hemisphere or Western time zone team, please.
Yeah.
There's great academic values at a lot of these institutions, notably Wake Forest and Duke and North Carolina.
None of this is about academics.
Okay. But Utah may want that because they had it in the Pac-12. Like, these high-ranking institutions. There was something about that.
No one cares about that. Like,
why would they do this?
Money and TV world.
Like, even if it were a few more million per year, for what? The league is like trying so hard to hold on to its best brands. You're going to join a league that's like going to say goodbye to Florida State and Clemson potentially?
Where are they going, by the way? SEC doesn't want them. They would have invited them already.
I don't think this has any validity, honestly. I think it's an idea that got floated out there. I do not believe this has any validity. If it does come to pass,
I'd be fine with it.
Sure.
Utah doesn't want to be in the Big 12 anyway. See ya.
Good luck.
See ya.
Yeah. What has resurfaced is I've learned that once again, Kansas and Kansas State and Texas Tech, all those fan bases collectively hate Utah. That's what I've learned from all of this again. Like, everyone in the thread when this came out was like, Iowa State fans, Baylor fans, TCU fans, Texas Tech fans, see you later. Like, it's crazy.
It makes me laugh so hard.
It's crazy.
Oh, man.
Oh, my goodness. Man. So it's an idea for sure. I don't think it has validity, but it would be something if it came to pass.
See ya!
Our question of the day. In reference to the reports that Utah may indeed be looking to the ACC, how would you feel if more conference realignment in major college football were to happen?
Again, we would just talk about said soon signing, but we can't. We will as soon as we can.
Sure. So for now, the question of the day remains with this report that Utah may be wanting to go to the ACC.
Hey, scratch this out and just write. How much do you not like Utah?
Jayhawk Lasso.
Who's a Kansas?
Who
big
is
time.
Like public enemy number one on social media for all Utah fans now. He said, getting Utah out of the Big 12 is necessary at this point. The whole organization just doesn't fit. And then when they come knocking at our door 3 years from now, when the ACC has all but collapsed, we can say, oh, sorry, pal, seat's taken.
That's pretty funny.
Hashtag BYUSN on X, Facebook, and Instagram.
Hey, lots going on. Let's go. Tune in.
There are too many smart people at Utah to let this happen, right? Come on.
You'd think so.
Come on.
Tune in this Friday for a BYU Sports Nation Deep Blue special featuring incredible stories from some of the great women at BYU, like Courtney Wayman, Heather Hampson, and the great Elaine Michaelis. Noon Eastern on BYU TV and BYU Radio.
Up next, we'll talk with Hans Olsen about the Utah to ACC rumors, the House versus NCAA settlement, and more BYU football goodness. What's an overachievement for the Cougars? This is BYU Sports Nation.
This segment of BYU Sports Nation presented by BYU Food to Go, the MVP of your next event.
Downfield, touchdown! Chase Roberts, what a grab! That's an unbelievable catch from Darius Lassiter!
We are live at Studio B. This is your day-to-day BYU Sports play-by-play. I am Spencer Linton, once again teamed up with Jerem Jordan. Joining us now is the BYU football radio analyst, former BYU football standout, and an Arena Football League legend, Hans Olsen, is with us on BYU Sports Nation. Hans, how are you this morning?
How are my two favorite guys? It's not about me. It's about you. How was your Memorial Day?
It was fantastic.
Awesome. Super chill.
Yeah. Great. And a great day to remember those who really matter, right?
Absolutely. Those who are much more brave than the three of us could ever imagine, for sure.
No question. Hey, I will say this. You were a little brave to go on social media and take on your son one-on-one in a rep. Hans, it didn't work out so well for you. How would you assess your performance?
I'm going to do the film breakdown later and try to figure out exactly what happened. So, guys, this is no joke. it took me an hour to find my Cotton Bowl jersey from that 1996 season. And I dug that out and shook the dust off it, tried to impress him and intimidate him, and then got my Colts helmet out and got the snaps all ready and pulled out my old cleats. I still have like 12 pair of cleats when I had my Nike contract when I was playing professional football, and got out some cleats and dusted those off, and I was stretching. Got me a nice new pair of BYU lineman gloves that I threw on, and I was feeling tight and I was looking good. And then the ball snapped and he snapped me into the ground, and I think my back snapped and a few other things snapped. And it was a quick Memorial Day one-on-one session that he dominated. It's fun though. Jeremy and I were just talking about it. You want your kid to eventually be better than you. It's just, you know, he just turned 17 and now he's better than me at everything at age 17. And that's tough. I mean, he's a pretty incredible kid.
And his hair smells like cinnamon. But yeah, that's awesome. Tommy looks like a good kid. Okay. BYU football transfer portals. You can still sign people. BYU's added a couple pieces here and there. Do you feel like BYU's added enough? Are they ready to go, or is there still like a spot or two where they might need to add a dude?
Well, the last time I think we talked, they hadn't added McKay Hillstead. And I think that that's a significant add because McKay Hillstead is a competitor. He is a fighter. He is a winner. He's very much like Jake Retzlaff. Those two have a lot of similarities. They don't know how to lose. It just isn't in their DNA. Even though Retzlaff got a feel and a taste of it back into last season, these guys are winners. And I think that they're going to force a really healthy competition, and I think they're going to force each other to get better. So that's my hope. And I fully expect Jake Retzlaff to be the starting quarterback come the opener. Fully expect it. You know, I go back to Jake Retzlaff and his JUCO years. You know, that kid was 24-2. That kid threw for nearly 7,000 yards in just two seasons. Actually, it was over 7,000. I think it was closer to 8,000. He had 44 touchdowns his second year there with Riverside. Everything he did was about winning. And I just think that there's a lot of hope to be had in his work ethic and his delivery. But what we really needed to see was a healthy competition. And McKay is going to be that healthy competition. And I do expect that. Now, this is such far speculation, but that's what we do, right, guys?
Yeah.
I do expect McKay Hillstead to be starting sometime by game 7 or game 8. I think McKay's probably going to be your starting quarterback. Unless Jake Retzlaff goes out there and owns it. You know, I was thinking about my old quarterback, talking about that Cotton Bowl year. Steve Sarkisian came out of El Camino, and he had 1 year before I arrived. I arrived in 96. And in that year, he still threw for like 3,400 yards and was either all-WAC or second-team all-WAC and really set himself up for that Texas A&M game. That was my freshman year where he threw for over 500 yards and kind of blew the doors off and set the level and expectation for the season. I'm hoping that Jake Retzlaff has a bit of that. Again, some similar characteristics. Jake Retzlaff, 6'1", Steve Sarkisian, 6'2". They both have solid mobility. I would say Jake Retzlaff probably has more mobility. I just hope that something clicks and Retzlaff finds whatever it is inside him that is so much competitor. And I hope that McKay Hillstead kind of unlocks that for him.
Hans Olsen is with us on BYU Sports Nation. Look, the projections, speaking of, and prognostications out of Vegas are not great for BYU football. Hence, they have the Cougars at 4.5 wins right now. So in your opinion, what would qualify as an overachievement for BYU this year coming off a 5-7 season where they didn't go bowling?
An overachievement? An overachievement would be eight wins.
Okay.
I think a pretty rational level of expectation would be six wins. You know, this is much like the conversation that we had last year about this time, guys. Like, seven wins. Get seven wins, and I think that it keeps people away from the gates. I think it keeps the pitchforks out, and it keeps the torches away, and I think that fans are somewhat satisfied and happy. But I struggle a little bit with this 4.5, and I struggle a little bit setting a low expectation because it's not like you're playing Clemson, Ohio State, and Michigan in your non-conference. You're playing SIU, SMU, and Wyoming. Now, I know that SMU is a good team. They were really good last year, and sure, you got to play them on the road. And I know Wyoming is a decent team. You got to play them on the road. But, guys, it's not the Blue Bloods. It's not the big programs. These are three very beatable teams. My expectation is you start 3-0. That's my expectation. You're BYU. You're not going to go and lose to SMU. You don't go lose to Wyoming. And you definitely don't lose to Wyoming in Laramie. You don't do that, even though I did. So a little bit of a double standard. Miserable place to play. And a tough place to win. But I have a higher expectation. And then after that, you know, you get going in your conference schedule with Kansas State and Baylor, and you're off and running. And I really do see four wins in conference schedules. So, you know, I'm kind of putting that thing at like 6 and 7. I think anything below a bowl game, and guys, what do you do? You know, it's hard because these are great coaches and great men, but at some point you've got to start winning. You've got to get yourself to a bowl game, and you've got to start winning. And we've seen the expectation of BYU sports take a big jump with what we just saw with Kevin Young. And I do think that BYU coaching staff feels that, and they see that, and they know it. And remember, Jay Hill was not the Kevin Young level, but Jay Hill was a big get. And that was a really big investment for BYU athletics at the time to go get Jay out of Weber State. And the contract, and I'm sure the money and everything that came with it, was a massive investment. And you got to start to see that pay off.
It's big time. It really is. And BYU's being competitive on and off the court and field, which is where you need to be in this era of NIL and whatnot. Okay, Dick Weiss, longtime and Hall of Fame writer, tweeted a couple of days ago about the possibility of Utah going to the ACC. What do you think about that potential speculation right there?
Well, I think that if it was possible, I would think Utah would probably do it. You know, there's a lot of speculation that the ACC is going to fall apart, but there is some collective bargaining that really unifies these guys. It's really hard to step out of that conference right now. But when you're talking about a conference that has multi-year national champion in recent history, Clemson, and you're talking about Florida State, who did such big things last year and have started to really ramp up their production, and then you throw in Miami and a few of these other ACC powerhouses, they do control a good chunk of money. You know, guys, the ACC gets more of the college football playoff percentage payout. The ACC gets more ESPN revenue. The ACC does have a more significant payout. But what they've got is unstable footing. So I would be really cautious leaving what I think is solid. It was great stability with the Big 12. I think you got to be cautious jumping ship. And if you did that, you'd burn a lot of bridges. You'd probably burn some bridges to the ground. You'd be chasing the dollar, and you'd be chasing some of the Blue Bloods, and you'd want to get into bigger and better competition and shoot for the stars, which I understand that. But it's so unstable, guys. You've seen the ACC and its instability. But then the other thought that I have is, it really doesn't matter, because we're 4 or 5 years away from a complete reorganization of college football anyways. Mm. So I think that the Big 12 is short-lived. I think that the current build of ACC is short-lived. And with this House versus NCAA ruling, where universities can now pay out to $20 million and certain percentages, and they're trying to bump NIL, as we see the House versus NCAA clear and everybody voted in, I just think we're about to see a dramatic shift in college football specifically.
Hans Olsen is on BYU Sports Nation. You brought it up, the House versus NCAA settlement, which will retroactively pay players back through, I think, 2016, which is wild in and of itself. But, Hans, moving forward, can we just officially say that amateurism is gone? It's done. It's over. Yeah. It's finished.
Yeah, it is. I think and what we've seen it as and what we've expected to be, I think it is largely gone. And I think it's been gone now for a couple of years, where we've seen this portal activity and we've seen the payouts and these collective builds and NILs, and it's gone. And I think that there are still parts of it in FCS football. I still think that JUCO still really encompasses it, and that's great. But when you're talking about the BYU worlds, the BYUs of the world, it has to be gone. You know, now you're going to engage in the payouts and making sure that athletes get distribution, and now there's going to be a big Title IX fight. Mm. Which is going to be really uncomfortable, and I don't know how that ends up coming down, but you know, they're going to look to distribute an unfair amount to football, and that's probably going to cause a lot of problems down the road. But it is gone as what we knew it. But I'm not overly upset about it, guys, because it's still going to be labeled football. You're still going to see the Y on the helmet. Coaches are still going to be expected to get in the portal and find their talent, build their teams and win games. And we're still going to be out there cheering for them and calling the games. And it's still going to be extremely competitive. It's probably going to be more competitive than it was. It just doesn't have that old balance where, man, it was all for the love of the game. It's definitely gone.
Yeah. Well, Hans, I think the only way to finish this interview is to point out that while your son Tommy Rock is better at you than in football right now, yes, I still think you have the edge on him in social media, man. I think you still got the edge there.
Oh, man, I hate those social media battles. I have told him this is the best part about being a dad. I have told him to delete no fewer than 10 tweets because they were just too hot. And they were out there for an hour, and I'd shoot him a text and be like, "Hey, dude, I don't like the sound of that, or I don't want to delete it." And I'm like, "Well, then I'm just gonna have to take your phone. I don't know what else to say." He's quicker witted. These kids nowadays they're quicker witted, man. Like their shots are a little bit more nasty. We used to have more fun with it, but these guys cut to the core now.
Hey, we wish you well moving forward with that. And hopefully you don't have to take his phone. Hans, great stuff as always. Your insight's awesome.
It's coming for the two of you, by the way.
I know.
Like, at some point, yep.
You're not far away where you're going to be asking your kid, like, how did you turn this on? What is this TikTok Instacam or whatever these things are? It's coming.
Can't wait. Hans, thanks for the time, man. Be well.
See you guys.
It's also on BYU Sports Station.
Yeah, we're going to have teenagers soon enough, you and I.
Already, it's getting to the point where my kids are on their video game consoles and they're trying to explain different games and like these modifications to the games they play to me. And I'm like, oh, no. It is happening.
The moment you start adding unnecessarily, that's when you're too old.
Oh,
check out the latest The Cougar Tailgate featuring Lauren McClain and the Jason Shepherd discuss if BYU's first season in the Big 12 was a success.
Up next, Jackson Robinson of BYU basketball faces a big decision. Will he stay in the NBA draft or will he return to college basketball? This is BYU SN.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by The BYU Store. official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Follow BYU Sports Nation on social media for content throughout the day. Facebook, X, Instagram, YouTube, and TikTok.
Welcome back to Studio B. I am Spencer. He is Jerem. Let's roll out your Tuesday headlines.
ESPN's Jonathan Givony and Jeremy Wu released their top 100 player rankings for the NBA draft. BYU's Jackson Robinson on the list at number 66. There will be 58 players selected in this year's draft. Jackson has until tomorrow night to decide if he's returning to college or staying in the NBA draft.
Hey, international player would love Jackson to come back to BYU. BYU men's and women's track and field had 16 total entries qualify for nationals over the weekend. Congratulations to all of the athletes who indeed punched their tickets. We'll be chatting with Taylor Lovell and Wyatt Houghton in the next segment. Nationals begin on June 5th in Eugene, Oregon.
BYU alums and upcoming 2024 Olympic marathoners Connor Mance and Clayton Young representing the United States. Fellow BYU alum and Olympian Jared Ward participated in the Boulder 10K yesterday. Mance took first for the second year in a row, while Young and Ward took 7th and 14th.
BYU men's and women's tennis announcing the signings of transfers with the women's team, bringing in UCF transfer Grace Levelston, and men's tennis has signed Adam Choder out of Sacramento State.
BYU Baseball announces the signing of first baseman and outfielder Easton Bryant out of Chandler, Arizona.
Let's stay with baseball. Former Cougar Daniel Schneeman hit his 10th home run of the season for the Columbus Clippers on Sunday. His career high in the season is 13, well on pace to crush that. And Jackson Clough had four hits over the weekend for the Rochester Red Wings. Clough now batting .295 on the season. Couple of BYU dudes playing really well in AAA.
And former Cougar Gabby Garcia Fernandez had 7 kills and 2 blocks in the United States' last 3 matches in Volleyball Nations League. Americans going 1-2 in those matches. They next compete on June 4th in Ottawa, Canada against Argentina.
Those are today's headlines. Now some opinions in the whip. Cougar whip around presented by Maersk, your e-commerce logistics shipping partner.
The NBA draft withdrawal deadline's tomorrow. Do you expect Jackson Robinson to stay in it or return to college?
I wish he were coming back to BYU, but let's just get that out of there. I don't feel like he's coming back to BYU.
You would love it. We would love it.
I think there's a pretty good shot he comes back and plays one year of college basketball, but I don't know if he's going to better his stock, Jerem. Like, will you do better than being the sixth man of the year in the toughest college basketball conference in America?
Can you get into the first round?
I don't know that he can
put up 28 games.
Legitimately better. If he went to Kentucky and played with Mark Pope, like there's so much going on there. There are so many good players. Like, how much would his stock increase?
I don't think it would hurt to come back because you're probably not gonna. If you were maybe being drafted in the second round, like, okay, you could probably help yourself by coming back a year, a little bit. I don't think it hurt much.
I don't think it would hurt. I just don't know how much it would gain.
Yeah.
Like, and he's a little older.
Yeah.
So do you go now? Yeah, we'll see.
Yeah.
I'm fascinated by all of it. All right, let's keep it rolling here in the Cougar Whip Around. Specifically, College Football Network put a list of the top 10 college football video game players we missed out on.
Mm-hmm.
Zach Wilson, number 4 on the list, Jerem.
Okay, that's pretty good.
Yeah, this is not the top 10 players ranked. It's just like
players missed
in the game.
Yeah.
Okay. Which BYU player would be second on this list behind Zach Wilson?
Tyler Allgeier.
100%.
Like, Taysom Hill would kind of be fun, though, too.
Like, I want Tyler Allgeier to be the BYU-specific cover of NCAA Football 2021 after the punch-out of the football against Arizona State.
2021 was Tyler Allgeier's year. Absolutely. 20 was Zach Wilson.
Yep. Man. You can always create those. There it is. You can always create those players.
You can, but now we don't have to.
No, you don't. But they won't be on the game now. Like you have the actual players,
right.
But you can create a player and name them whatever you want. So you could have Tyler Allgeier playing on 2025 BYU football.
You could.
You could design.
You could have done that the last 10 years, too.
Yes. Up next, hey, a couple of freshman phenoms, Taylor Lovell and Wyatt Houghton join us to discuss qualifying for track and field nationals in the steeplechase. This is a steeplechase school.
It's a steeplechase school, Spence. We've been saying this for a minute.
This is BYUSN.
This portion of BYU Sports Nation is presented by Maersk, your e-commerce logistics shipping partner.
Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation. We are live in Studio B. I'm Spencer Linton alongside Jerem Jordan, and we are pleased to welcome in those who represent BYU men's track and field and women's track and field, specifically in the steeplechase. They are Taylor Lovell and Wyatt Houghton, who both just qualified for Nationals. Congratulations.
We got the shirts and everything, yeah, like specific gear, which is cool.
West
Congratulations. Yeah.
Okay. Let's just start with the conditions in Arkansas. Taylor, how was it to run and compete in Arkansas?
You know, it was kind of hot and humid, but I feel like being from Arizona, it was a little bit more like home, maybe not with humidity, but the heat, I think I'm kind of used to it from being from Arizona, but it definitely got to me. So, you just keep going.
And you guys avoided a tornado, apparently, like an hour after you took off Saturday.
Yeah, it was nuts. We got there and then we went to the devotional and there was a tornado watch during it. So it was crazy.
But, oh my gosh. That's crazy.
The moment you qualify for Nationals, what is running through your mind? No pun intended. Wyatt?
Well, at first, I didn't know if I was going to qualify because I had one. I was on the bubble, is what they call it, because you had to be the top three and then the next three fastest times. So at first, I didn't think I qualified. I was actually super mad after the race. I had punched the bench and everything. But then, so I was watching the next couple races, and then nobody had run faster than the bubble time, so I made it. And I started jumping up and down, went straight to my coach and family, so it was super cool.
Punched the air at that point? Just
Yeah, all the punching in the air. Yeah, that's right.
Punching.
That's right.
Fist pump. That's quite the array of emotions.
Yeah, it was. It was up and down, bipolar for sure.
How was it for you, Taylor?
Honestly, I think I finished and I was like, oh, I'm done. And I was like, oh wait, I'm going to Nationals. So I think I kind of forgot, and then it was just this like, oh my gosh. And so then I got to see my coach and give her a hug, and it was just a really cool
experience. So for a minute you thought your season was done.
Yeah, I kind of forgot what was going on. I'm not going to lie. My coach, I kind of went into the race knowing what I needed to do, and then I kind of forgot where I was at and just raced, and then I finished, and I was like, oh, yeah, okay, I'm going to Nationals.
You were so focused on your cues. You didn't think about it. You didn't have to think about it. Actually.
No.
I like that. Were you both expecting to qualify for Nationals? You're freshmen. Typically, there's like a build-up, but obviously you compete to get at the highest level.
Yeah, so for me, I was – so top 12 qualify and I was 15th. So I was going in, I was confident because I had run a fast enough time to be pretty close, but I knew it would be tough. So I knew I had to go compete, but yeah, I mean, I was confident, so.
How about you, Taylor?
I went in ranked number 3 in the region. So it was a little bit more of an expectation that I was going to Nationals. So yeah.
That's awesome.
Okay, well, you achieved it. So let's remember, you have another race to run in Eugene, Oregon.
Yes.
Put that on the calendar.
Yeah, it's already on there.
I kid.
That'll be awesome.
What are your expectations for, you know, an historic venue to run that race? Like, how do you handle the emotions of something like that, Wyatt?
I'm excited. I'm nervous, though. I'm definitely nervous. It's going to be fun, but I'm going into it with the same mentality as regionals. Like, I know I'm going to have to go put up a good race to qualify because there's semifinals, and then you have to qualify to the finals. So I need to go put up a good time, but I think the nerves are good, but I'm super excited.
Taylor, same question for you.
You know, it's all about competing. It's just the starting line and the people around you, so it's just – I'm just going into it knowing that I need to compete, and that's the best part of track. So
we've said, you know, maybe in jest, maybe not. This is a running school. Like, it really is a running school. Steeplechase specifically, there's a rich history. So what is it like for you guys to compete in a, you know, where you have great coaches and great history in this specific event and track?
Yeah, I mean, having Kenneth Rooks as a teammate, he was national champion just, I mean, last year, and so. And then James Corrigan, he's another one. He's up top couple in the country. So
he was in studio last week.
So chasing these guys has been super helpful, and having a coach who knows what he's talking about, it's been super good. And I like having those guys to push you and to motivate you to be a better runner. So it's good.
All right, let's give you some BYU Sports Nation karma. Let's do our part. Okay, for you joining us in studio, we're going to give you the karma. You take it, you run better than you maybe would. No, frankly, you will run better than
you
expected.
You're
it's
good,
it's
right?
going to happen.
But have fun at that amazing Tracktown USA,
just,
man. Let's go.
It's so good.
Yeah.
Enjoy. Congratulations
Thank
to both of you.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, we'll be watching. Thanks. Yeah.
All right. Taylor Lovell and Wyatt Houghton on BYU Sports.
They run
Station.
Way faster than us.
Steeplechase school.
Jeez.
It's a steeplechase school.
Yes, it is.
Up next on BYU Sports Station. A top five Tuesday that is unique to the unique individual that Bill Walton is.
Love you, Bill.
This is BYU Sports Nation.
Sports Nation is presented by The BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Cougars! I love Cougars.
What a beautiful shot by Jake Toulson.
Cougar pride. Marcello can really play. TJ Hawes, the same thing. Toulson, Harding, these guys are awesome.
Top 5 Tuesday.
Yeah.
Honoring the great Bill Walton. Jeremy's even got the jersey on.
The rare okay to wear red day.
These are the best Bill Walton moments from the BYU-UCLA game in the 2019 Maui Invitational specifically. And I'm going to read this sponsored part in Bill Walton voice. Shall I?
Oh, yeah, I like it.
Top 5 Tuesday is presented by eAssist Dental Health Foundation, reminding you dental cleanings are essential for your health. Learn more at visityourdentist.org.
And the Grateful Dead.
Very nice. Start us off at number 5.
Number 5. There's no other way to set this up than fee-fi-fo-fum.
Fee-fi-fo-fum, I smell the blood of little ones. I'll grind their bones and drink their blood.
What? Bill gonna Bill. Bill gonna Bill. That's a fun start to this.
That's number 5. At number 4.
What's going on?
Bill Walton is obviously a very tall man. He shared his thoughts on people who are under 6 feet 10 inches and his feelings specifically about guards in basketball.
Everybody under 6'10 looks exactly the same to me. Guards. Feed the post, inbound the ball, play token defense on the perimeter, and get out of the way.
Token defense, that's great. Okay, number 3. Bill shared a memory that he had with Celtic teammate Danny Ainge. This is gold.
We became teammates. And one day, he was messing with me in practice. Because I was struggling physically and I was having trouble getting up and down the court, but I had the groove because the big man always has the groove right down the middle of the court. And so he kept getting in my way. And one time, after telling him numerous times to stop, I leveled him. And he jumped up and he got in my face for leveling him. And I said, looked at him and I said, hey man, that's my space, that's my lane. And so Jerry Seasting, who was my teammate, came over to defend Danny Ainge. And I looked at both of them, and I pointed to Danny, and I said, hey, the only thing I hate more than a guard, and then I turned to Jerry Seasting, and I said, is a second-string guard. And then, and then I walked away and said, let's play ball.
That's great. That's
great. How wild is it that Danny Ainge and Bill Walton were teammates on the Boston Celtics?
That great 86 team was special, man. He was part of that. Bill Walton was the sixth man of the year.
Well, he's a man that knows a lot about history and player lineage, but he didn't have a question specifically about Jake Toulson's family history.
Guy, how did he become Danny Ainge's nephew?
I think he was born into it. It's usually how it works.
Really? Why does Danny always look so happy?
I love Dave Pash's role in all of this.
I know. Dave's a straight man.
Dave Pash is awesome.
Yep, that's great. And at number 1, how could it be anything other than Bill's perfect Cougar grill?
Okay, well, so. The Cougars. I love Cougars here in Maui. Elders have come to fight today. Arr! Cougars clawing, proud, growling. Arr!
Go Cougs. Long live Bill Walton, man. We're going to miss him.
Has there ever been a greater broadcaster of BYU athletics than Bill Walton?
First time I said anything to him, he came in at the Mercer NIT game in, like, what was it, 2013-14? Yeah. Said, Bill, great to have you here. And he goes, great to be here.
He's just
super excited and happy. Yeah, it's great, man.
A legend for sure. We're certainly going to miss him. With Bill Walton on the mind, we now have to transition into our question of the day, throwing a little football at the end of the show. How would you feel if more conference realignment were to happen, this based on a report that Utah is maybe thinking about going to the ACC? Our elite voice of the day presented by PAX Healthcare Elevated. I laugh because I can't even take it seriously. Cougar Stats on X says, I'm all for saving Brett Yormark from the single worst thing he's done as commissioner, adding Utah.
Okay then.
Oh, wow.
Okay then.
Wow. Opinions are unfiltered. Our Rise and Shout Out presented by Mountain America, the official credit union of BYU Athletics.
Bill Walton, we're going to miss you, man.
Our thanks to today's guests, Hans Olsen, Wyatt Houghton, and Taylor Lovell.
Sorry, Dennis, no time.
For Jeremiah Spencer, shout out to Roland Minson in the spirit of Bill Walton. Go Cougs.